This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome back to Not Always Polite. I hope you guys have had a great week so far. So I'm going to start off today's episode with an update. So I obviously have mixed emotions bringing this update to you guys, but I talked about this case way back in episode 10. So if you want more background on the case, definitely go check that episode out. But Tyler McMichael's remains were found. After 4 years of searching, London police have identified a person who was found dead on the bank of the Thames River near Dorchester, Ontario, in February as Tyler McMichael. According to the police, foul play is not suspected. Tyler was 20 years old when he was reported missing in May of 2019. His father told CBC that his son will be remembered as a soft-spoken but often full-of-life individual who cared deeply about his family and friends. Tyler was last seen in the area of Commissioners Road East and Wellington Road near Victoria Hospital on May 24th, 2019. Tyler had a history of struggling with mental health problems and addiction challenges, which his father Anthony said seemed to be getting better before he went missing. The Children's Aid Society, which took care of Tyler for a period of time, has agreed to pay for a portion of the funeral costs. So that is the update on that. Like I said, if you want more information, I did cover his case in episode 10. I am obviously happy that his family now has closure and can stop searching for him. But obviously this isn't the outcome that anyone wants to hear, like, especially for the parents. But anyhow, that is the update and I will get on into today's case. So this case is a little bit different than what I'd normally cover. I saw this article on Facebook, actually, and the person that I'm going to talk about, his family, really wants his case reopened. So I'm going to share the story, and hopefully with the little bit of coverage that I can give, it will help get his story out there. So Jeromka, oh my God, I'm already butchering it. I'm so sorry. Jeromka Jerry Willis Kieschig was born in 1982 to parents Arlene Kieschig and Miles Jones. His parents were not together at the time of his death, and he had a stepfather, Eric Jenner. His mother, Arlene, described her son as a loving father and good provider for his daughter, Brescia, who was only a baby at the time of his death. He was strong and athletic and had been a top athlete at St. Mary's High School. He had a good job and had been making his lunch for work before he left his mother's home that evening to visit his daughter. Jerry and his family were members of the Chippewa of Nawash, unceded First Nation. Quote, opioid addiction, suicide, and intergenerational trauma are genuine and deadly reality for Indigenous peoples. His stepfather Eric did not deny that Jerry had a drinking problem, but neither he nor the rest of his family could believe what the police were telling them about Jerry's final hours. On March 4th, 2018, Jerry had went to his ex-girlfriend's house to visit their daughter. Now, some articles said girlfriend, some said ex-girlfriend, but for the sake of this episode, I'm going to say ex-girlfriend just because their relationship was not doing well at the time that Jerry passed. So anyways, he went there to visit his daughter. After he left her apartment, the police report says that he came back a short time later and was allegedly intoxicated. When he was there, he then threatened to harm himself. According to the family, witnesses said that Jerry made gestures toward himself and appeared as though he was hitting himself in the chest and then dropped something on the ground and started to walk away. According to police reports, that something was a bloody red-handled knife. At around 8:30 p.m. that evening, one witness said they passed by the area and had seen the bloody knife on the ground. By 9:50, Jerry had been seen by his brother Corey, who has since passed, who asked him to call a cab so he could be taken to the hospital before he continued walking, and his brother did call 911. Police were called at 10:06 when Jerry walked almost a kilometer to MacArthur Tire in Owen Sound and collapsed. A short while later, there was a call to 911 from his ex-girlfriend's apartment at around 10:30. In the police investigation, the knife in question was found wiped clean and placed back into its sheath. No fingerprints were ever recovered from that knife. He passed away from his injuries at Owen Sound Hospital at 11:19 that same night. So this is where things kind of get a little bit, I don't want to say suspicious, because the family isn't blaming the police. And they're not saying that they covered anything up. They're just saying that they don't think the investigation was performed as well as it could have been. So, according to police, Jerry stabbed himself 3 times, fatally nicking his heart, according to the autopsy report. And he wiped down the knife, returned it to its sheath, dropped it on the ground, and then walked a kilometer where he was found by police and paramedics who were responding to the 911 call. Now, I don't know about you, but to me and to his family, that seems a little bit hard to believe, that he was walking around with a fatally nicked heart for a whole kilometer? Like, I don't know. Jerry was missing a shoe when he was found, and his brother, who saw him on the street that night, said that he thought he, quote, looked like he had been beaten up. The police report says that that was likely from attempts to resuscitate him, although it contains no information that a resuscitation had been performed. Because of the family's doubts, they are trying to get his investigation reopened. The family says that they don't feel that the investigation was handled with compassion and that it wasn't looked into thoroughly. For instance, they feel that things were missed because they say the official investigation was wrapped up within 72 hours, which is pretty quick. Eric says that he took matters into his own hands and called the police directly to get updates because the family wasn't being told of anything. The family was informed that in order to get any details about the case, they needed to fill out a Freedom of Information request. But then they were never provided with the form to fill out by the person who had told them that they needed the paperwork. According to Eric, Jerry had gotten a good job at Tenneco. He was looking forward to it, and he was looking forward to being able to provide for his young daughter. The family eventually did receive the redacted police report documents, as well as crime scene photos and even autopsy photos. But they feel that there are too many inconsistencies between the evidence that they have seen and heard versus what the police say happened. The family is appealing with some recommendations to law enforcement. I'm going to list those now. 1, police services should make every attempt to contact the family as soon as possible. 2, police services should do all they can to be transparent in investigating as soon as possible with the family. 3, forensic evidence must be processed quickly. 4, timely release of police reports. And 5, autopsy photos don't usually help in understanding events. And now I feel that those are all very excellent recommendations, and I don't think they're being unreasonable. So I really hope that with the new media coverage, I believe they had a press conference as well, and maybe with this episode, I hope that they can get his investigation reopened, and hopefully they can get more answers. But yeah, so that is today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys stay safe, and I will catch you guys next week. Oh, before I go, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at NotAlwaysPolite and leave me a review wherever you're listening. I would really appreciate it. Okay, have a great week, and I'll catch you guys next time. Bye.